The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio today are certified financial planners Craig Konstantinovich and Cameron Utley. And today we're going to get into some information about homeowners insurance. We've been doing a lot of shows on different kinds of insurance. It's just such a universe. And I thought it would be applicable with, you know, what the folks are going through in Florida. With hurricanes in the news, it seems like on the weekly, it's a good time to ask, would your home insurance protect you if a disaster struck? You know, we kind of, in June, we experienced some tornadic weather in Columbus where we were shocked by, you know, the carving out of neighborhoods randomly by tornadoes. And we have these conversations at work and have learned our own lessons. I think everybody's a petri dish. So today we're going to talk about the risks of being underinsured and why having the right coverage matters more than ever. I'd like to go through just some bullet points and ask you a couple of questions as we go. And we're not insurance agents, of course, but this is part of what our company does for our clients, an integral part of it. So emergency preparedness planning, as I've been watching these videos, and I have family in Florida and friends in Florida that are going through a really rough time right now, you do think about these things, I think, a little bit more. Puts it on your radar for those of us that are fortunate enough not dealing with that right now. You know, how ready do you feel, you know, if your family had, I lay in bed and I think about this, how ready would I feel if we had to evacuate for whatever the reason? Emergency purposes, weather, do you have a plan in place, you know, and that's different for everybody, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a client coming to you and you're talking to them about homeowners insurance, is this one of the things you talk to them about?
Emergency preparedness, like gaps in coverage, having
a plan,
like which part?
Well, we're talking about, you know, starting with the preparedness. So evacuation routes, communication strategies, emergency kits, you know, is this something that is on the radar in those conversations?
It just kind of depends on what the risks are. I mean, you know, for example, outside of this spring and summer when we had, you know, I believe it was either the record or near record for number of tornadoes that had touched down in the state of Ohio, for the most part, Ohio has been fairly insulated from any significant storms or issues or anything else that's been happening. So as we kind of look at it, I mean, you know, do we recommend people have emergency plans or understand what their exit strategy should be or things like that? It's not necessarily our area of expertise, anything that we try to help them on, but what our process is all built around is being that kind of backup. So, you know, as part of the onboarding, we always ask for important documents like birth certificates, like Social Security cards, like visas, all those different pieces, because that's the last thing that you want to worry about is, you know, not only, hey, can I get out safely, but do I have all of my mission critical documents readily available? So that's kind of where we start from things is let's make sure we've got the data, the documents that we can back up and support. And then from there, it's, you know, just kind of understanding, okay, well, what are your potential risk exposures? I mean, even before this hurricane season, you know, you could look at last year, you could look back 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, after Katrina hit, I mean, that was probably a lot of people's first real exposure to the devastation that can happen from a hurricane and just how much people's lives can be tossed upside down. So from that standpoint, what we always want to do is we want to talk about these different areas of risk. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to what insurance as a whole is meant to alleviate you from risks that you are unwilling to take. So you buy insurance to help out with anything that you feel it's a high probability of happening. It could be catastrophic damage, Like, that's why you have someone else help you out pay for that, not necessarily for, you know, oh, I had a piece of siding that fell off, or, you know, oh, I had a hailstorm and there's a few, you know, little dings or dents here or there on my roof. It's no, it's more so for the catastrophic stuff.
When we have people that buy homes, and this is not just applicable in Florida, we have a lot of clients in the southern region, but even in Ohio and other parts of the country where we have clients, we need to understand flood insurance. It's one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And I can remember a conversation we had years ago. One of our own experienced flooding in the basement. And it was a petri dish learning moment for even our CFPs, because the learning curve was ramped up a little bit as far as how much insurance to have to cover if you've got, whether you've got, you know, 3 inches of water or 4 feet of water in your basement. What are the things that you can help us understand are necessary when you're first looking at a homeowner's insurance policy? And I guess, does it matter what part of, I guess it does matter what part of the country you live in, if you're in a floodplain or what, but what are the basics that we can help people understand?
I think the biggest thing to understand is that water in general has a very tricky relationship with insurance, just in very broad swoop. That's why we have, you can get water coverage insured through your homeowners. You can get it, but you might have to get it insured through hurricane insurance. You might have to get it insured through flood insurance. Even things like wind, might have to get a wind insurance policy. Just there are certain natural events that have water in particular have very tricky relationship. And so it starts with knowing what you have and what that covers.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig, I know you've had some experience in helping clients out with that. And I know a lot of it comes down to how the water gets in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you have any particular stories with that piece.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget it. It was, I kid you not, probably the first 3 weeks that we were in the midst of the shutdown and the pandemic and everything. And sure enough, I had my sump pump that went out. We live in a 20-year-old home. Most of the time they say that sump pumps, you know, you get anywhere between 10 to 20 years if you're really lucky. And we were on the lucky end of the spectrum there. But, you know, we were the third homeowners. It wasn't part of the inspection. Hey, it either works or it doesn't work. And so literally it was figuring out, okay, well, number one, who can I trust to come over? You know, at that point when everything was still so, you know, discombobulated, so much information was free flowing. But, you know, then the second piece is, okay, well, what's the extent of the damage? Like, is there actually going to need to be a claim? Now, thankfully, with where our sump pump is, it's, you know, just the concrete slab underneath. But even that, there's a lot of instances where, you know, you may have some, you know, Halloween decorations or Christmas ornaments or personal items that you've tucked away where if it's subject to damage by water at that point, yeah, you can file a claim, but you can't necessarily get that stuff back. So really it's understanding, you know, more times than not, when you're looking at your homeowner's policy, water damage that happens inside the house, whether it be bursting pipes that have been frozen, whether it be your sump pump, whether it be water backup that happens, that is usually, and I say usually with a big asterisk, always review with your insurance agent, but that's usually something that's going to be covered by your homeowner's insurance. Whereas if it's water from the outside coming in, well, then there's going to be much more deliberation, much more discussion about, well, how did the water actually come into the house? Was the area properly graded so that way water wasn't meant to soak up underneath the foundation? Did you do everything that you needed to make sure that your siding was, you know, well-mounted and was not subject to leaks or anything like that? So really understand that. And then to Cameron's point, just understand that a lot of these catastrophic events, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, acts of war, God forbid, a lot of those aren't covered by your homeowner's insurance. So when you're looking at it, if you are looking for a very specific piece of coverage, you know, in Ohio, I know it seems silly sometimes, but, you know, there's been at least two instances that I can recall where there's been seismic activity that's happened mm-hmm. in Ohio. So even having earthquake coverage in Ohio may be important. Having a mine protection because of all the mining that's been done and not knowing exactly where shafts may be. That's another area of coverage that would be completely separate. Sinkholes have been another one. So this is where working with a great insurance agent allows you to understand what areas you may be subject to risks and which areas you aren't, and just understanding, well, you know, for instance, you know, where we're at right now, there hasn't been any mining activity that, you know, of record. There hasn't been tornadoes that have necessarily ripped through our specific area. Hey, does it make sense for us to get that kind of coverage? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But then you've got to look at, well, what's the cost for it versus what's the potential benefit that I could get?
Fun fact, I was standing in a cornfield when, and it was, I think it was like, I'm aging myself, but it was like 1980, I think, or 81. A group of my friends and I were standing out my father's corn, green bean and corn patch out in New Albany back before Wexner built his mecca. And right off of Reynoldsburg, New Albany Road,
mm-hmm.
we learned that there was a fault line. And we were all standing out there picking vegetables and felt the rumbling. And we didn't have shoes and socks on. So, you can imagine what that felt like to your...
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. We all stood up and looked at each other. Did you feel that? Yeah. So when you're approaching your agent, how do you know the right questions to ask, though? I mean, I've heard horror stories where somebody's, you know, purchased a home that was in a floodplain and nobody disclosed it.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know to ask about flood insurance and maybe couldn't even get it at that point. So do you have a, you know, bullet point checklist that you take with you, or you just, you know, overarching ask? And do you re-ask every time you renew?
Yeah, I think it's important to, just as you go to your accountant to get your taxes done every year, as you know, you might go to your attorney to get, you know, your estate plan documents checked every once in a while, go to a financial planner, an investment advisor, and see if you're on track to meet your investment and retirement goals. You should go to your property and casualty, home and auto agent, and talk to them about, you know, here are, you know, whether it's because my house value is increased, or one thing we discovered over the past 5 years is that just the cost of building materials has gone up over time. And
mm-hmm.
that's a big thing that a lot of insurance companies may have neglected just due to the volume of requests. They just automatically update those numbers to say, here's the true cost of replacing your house in the event of a total loss, which mm-hmm. unfortunately I think is what happened to a lot of people a few weeks ago. And I think unfortunately it's just the nature of hurricanes. That's what's going to happen a lot of times upcoming, whether it's this year, next year, whatever. So I think it is important on an annual basis. That's how often your insurance usually renews. I would go review with your agent. Okay, you know, based on, they can run a market analysis to see how much it would cost to replace your home. If there's any other coverages that you might be lacking on that you could increase, you know, whether that's, again, from a water backup coverage, or maybe there has been an increased amount of floods in your area or tornadoes, maybe it is worth looking into what would it cost. If that's a big concern to you, what would cost for a flood or a wind insurance policy?
A lot of people don't think about their personal belongings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us have basements, and there are some people that have bedrooms in their basements with antiques or personal artifacts that are costly, and they're not thinking about the premium amount if something were to happen, what it would cost to cover those items. So that's probably something to keep on the radar as well.
Oh yeah,
I mean, honest, you know,
and this is one of those things where, you know, accountants, our job as financial planners is always to be the antagonist, to make sure that we're getting the most out of the team players that are all a part of this. So, you know, I would say that we probably promote a lot more open communication, but again, not trying to knock anyone or saying that they're not doing their jobs, but insurance agents as a whole, you usually only hear from them during renewals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, hey, your premiums are going up, or hey, just want to see if there's any changes that have happened to the home in the last year. And not to their fault. I mean, I can sit here and
it's
I can
universe.
Think, yeah. And I mean, I think about myself and it's like, hell, there hasn't been a whole lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I sit back and realize, okay, well, we made this update. We just purchased this item. You know, we got a signed Jim Brown helmet that, you know, was something that was a family heirloom that we left now in the house. So
who's Jim Brown?
Oh, Tracy.
Oh my goodness.
I think we just go ahead and not getting it.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have to edit this part out.
One of the most famous running backs in NFL history. He is literally the probably poster child for the Cleveland Browns outside of Paul Brown, who the team's named after. But I digress. We won't go into that history. But when you look at it, a lot of times insurance agents are one of those people that we underutilize within our financial planning opportunities. So, you know, yeah, if you do have a kitchen remodel that's done, reach out to your agent. Hey, I just did this. We spent, you know, $100,000 getting new cabinets, new countertops. Everything else is redone. What do you think it would cost for us to replace our home? And that's because more times than not, once we tell someone that a change has happened, we're going to see that reflected by the need to pay more in premiums. And so that's usually why people are gun shy. It's one of those things where everyone hates to pay for it, but we're also thankful when we have it. Mm-hmm. But we also need to have a better understanding too. Like, you know, right now, like you said, with all the hurricanes that are happening, hey, reach out to your agent. Hey, I know that it's a very off chance here, but by the time that the hurricane gets up here, maybe the winds still are strong. Maybe there is a lot of rain damage that's going to be coming. Maybe we do have a scenario where we have some hail that happens. Ask your agent to give you advice. Ask them for input on, you know, hey, am I properly protected here? What areas do I maybe have blind spots on? Because, like I said, outside of renewal, and maybe even not then, we may go years without talking to our agent and getting input. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying that person, get their advice, get their expertise.
So back to circling back to protecting personal effects, how I know we're big on technology here.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about all you guys sometimes, you know, you at home, do you have a big filing cabinet at home, or do you have strong boxes, or,
oh,
you know, do you have a safe deposit box? What are some best practices for taking inventory of your stuff?
Karen, you're the newest homeowner. You tell us.
One thing that I'd say it's something I need to get better at, but when we, you know, moving into I call it the fixer-upper, the as-is house, some rooms just become the storage facility temporarily as you're painting and doing new flooring. And people who have a basement like I do, that's often an easy one to make your storage closet. And one thing like I said, I'm trying to get better at, but I think everyone should consider doing, are investing in those wire shelves or the shelving you see it at Costco, you know, 3-4 levels. You can fit it, you know, 7 or 8 feet tall, and it keeps your things off of the floor. So at the very minimum, you've got 3, 4, 5 inches of room that your stuff is off the floor if your basement floods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be your top ticket items, but, you know, at least for me, like my Halloween, some of my Christmas decorations.
Your Halloween stuff should be out.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Like I said, we're a little busy right now. But even like some of our Christmas decorations are things that have been passed down to us, or mm-hmm. things that we've, you know, collected over time. And it would be a shame if those were ruined by water or something.
Well, what about papers? And you laughed at me when I said filing cabinet, but I'm going to be fully disclosed. I have a big, I know the
yeah,
surprise.
Yeah, I know you do. I'm not surprised in the least. Not at all.
But I
not
still
at
have
all.
A very large filing cabinet.
And I roll my eyes and I laugh. But
I just, you know, scanning it tells me Big Brother might be able to see it. So I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. But
there's a lot of ways that you can protect those documents. But, okay, so Big Brother can see it. Big Brother technically already has access to most of those important documents as it is. So it's just making sure that you have access to them if you need.
Craig, I really want to sleep tonight. Don't
yeah,
start.
Well, that's fine, but neither here nor there. But
you know, there are like fire bags. Mm-hmm. I've actually looked into this. You can buy fire bags for certain things, you know, like your wills and things like that. And I think some of those are waterproof too, right?
Well, and wills, your attorney should have backups on file. Like, there should be a number of backups that are in place. But yeah, I mean, find a secure way to store your documents. But to your point about other personal effects, I haven't gone through, thankfully, and knock on wood, but I haven't gone through a big time claim. But a lot of times insurance companies will either want receipts for stuff that you purchased that you are claiming that you lost, or they want record of that item being there. So literally, I go through our house probably once every 6 months. I've got a photo album on my phone that's literally just backup is all I call it. And I'm just literally taking my phone and scanning the room, showing what items we have in there, what would be lost in the event of something happening. And since the way that iPhone has it set up, it timestamps it, it verifies that it's authentic, like you have supporting documentation there. Yeah, when you're looking at actual stuff, maybe not the important documents, but just physical things that are there, that's a great way to just identify, hey, I've got 37 dress shirts. Again, making up a number here, but when you go out and file a claim, hey, I need 37 new dress shirts because my house got completely torn apart or it went up in flames and now I've got nothing to prove for it. Well, hey, here's this video that shows all these shirts hanging up on hangers. Yeah, that should be an approved claim.
Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to have receipts for all those things as long as you have some pictures or videos to show that you have them.
High ticket items, you know, if, like your engagement rings, my Jim Brown helmet, which we won't go down that path again. Like I have the appraisal, I have authenticity verification that, yes, this is an authentic autograph. Like there's other things when you get to those higher ticket items, but just kind of general stuff. The insurance company is not going to care about your holy socks. They just want to know, hey, did you have four pairs or eight pairs?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important too on the big ticket items. I think if big ones are jewelry, firearms, cash, that might be if you keep cash in your home. A lot of just basic homeowners insurances have very strict limits buried, you know, 30, 40 pages down, where they might only insure up to maybe $1,000 worth of jewelry, which I'm sure the average engagement ring just by itself, if you're married, is probably
without
more
an
than
appraisal.
That.
Without an appraisal,
it doesn't.
Right?
It doesn't matter if you don't have an appraisal. That just shows you how much it's worth. That's not how much the insurance would pay to replace it. You know, if you had an appraisal for $4,000,
is that if it's on your policy?
It's just a blanket general. If you can prove that you have jewelry, they may only cover $1,000 or $2,000. So what you could do in a lot of cases is some call it endorsements. Some insurance companies may have separate policies that you have to get. Be able to get coverage for those big ticket items, the memorabilia, the jewelry, to get to that whatever appraisal value is.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times, and you know, again, to date ourselves at some points, but you know, there are some people that have authentic silverware made out of real silver, and a lot of homeowners insurance policies, as you to Cameron's point, read through the fine print, they'll only insure up to $5,000. Well, if you're talking about real silverware that's been passed down from generation to generation, it's going to be probably worth a lot more than $5,000 at that point. So if you don't go out and have that appraised to actually get, hey, here's what it costs to replace it today, they're just going to say, hey, you said you've got silverware. We said we'll pay you no more than $5,000. Here's your $5,000. Sorry, Charlie.
Okay, I want to circle back to if there's a big storm or an accident. I had somebody drive their truck into the front of my house.
You've
last
lived
year.
A life, yeah. I tell you what.
And
you should not have that yield sign in front of your house. It should be an absolute stop sign.
Hey, all four walls are still there.
Yeah, he took out the window. He parked his F-150 literally right on my porch, took a flatbed truck to pull him off. All of the tires were pushed out. It was wild. But when that happens, the first thing you do is what? Call your insurance agent.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is it up to you to take pictures of those things, or does the agent take those pictures?
Well, in your case, I certainly hope there was a police officer to help take some pictures.
I was actually having my hair done, and all of my neighbors took the pictures for me. It was all over Facebook.
There you go.
I was getting my phone blown up, and they thought I was in the house. I came home to police tape wrapped around my entire yard and a fire truck and an EMT. And
it wasn't April Fool's Day, right?
50,000 neighbors, no, it was okay. Not.
All right, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a wallpaper.
Like the Truman Show.
Oh,
Jim Carrey's Truman Show. Yeah, so the first thing I did was called the insurance agent. Mm-hmm. And then I took it upon myself to take those pictures. But he also came out and took pictures as well. So documenting, I think, in my mind is important in case somebody misses something.
Yeah, the sooner you can, no one's going to care about your stuff more than you. So the sooner you can actually jump out there, start taking pictures, identifying what may or may not be missing. Again, depending on the severity of it, that may not be your headspace immediately, but as soon as you can, yeah, do your best to go through. And that's where, again, like it may seem paranoid for me to go through the house every 6 months and just, hey, let me double check everything and compare it to the video that I've got or the pictures that I've got. But that way, if something's out of place, significantly out of place, I can identify it quickly and say, okay, well, I just need to delete that one and put a new video in place of that.
It's a good excuse to keep your house clean, too.
Just do it after the cleaners come through.
So what if somebody is, like, walking up your staircase and they fall down the stairs and they roll their ankle and they end up in the hospital with a sprained ankle? How do you handle that? Is that a them insurance issue or a you insurance issue?
If it happens in your house, then, you know, it comes down to if someone wants to pick a fight, right, to an extent, you know, if someone wants to just, you know, call it what it is, or if they want to try to press charges, and you know, that's kind of outside of that realm. But generally, if they were wanting to file some sort of charge or come after you because it happened in your house, because, you know, they could claim that you didn't nail in your stair steps well enough and there was a bit of a raise in it or something silly, right? You should have, hopefully, some level of either liability coverage on your homeowner's insurance or coverage specifically for medical payments to others that get that are harmed in your home.
Mm-hmm. Is there an amount that is template, or is it just dependent on each person's net worth?
I think that's what makes reviewing this with your insurance agent every year important, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that a broken arm costs exponentially more to the day than it cost 10 years ago.
Mm. Well, yeah, just the x-ray itself. I mean, goodness gracious.
And then, you know, heaven forbid that the person you're talking to doesn't have insurance, then that might be even more that they try to potentially come after you for.
So you encourage people, homeowners, to conduct regular audits on their mm-hmm. home and their property to make sure everything is intact so they're mitigating risk, right?
Every year that we are working with someone, we have a checklist that we go through or we recommend sending to their insurance agent to say, hey, what's your thoughts on where the industry is right now? I mean, for example, one of the big changes that we've seen in the last 2 years has been before, more times than not, people in Ohio at least were praying for a hailstorm, because more times than not, that was a very easy way for someone to get a brand new roof. Roofs tend to last between 20 to 40 years, depending on who you talk to, what kind of shingles you get, all that kind of stuff. And normally, when it comes to hailstorm, as soon as one person does it, the whole neighborhood's able to get it approved. Well, now homeowners insurance companies have started to get smart to that, and they are now starting to prorate how much they would pay out. So, for instance, if your roof is 20 years old versus if your roof is 2 years old and it's subject to hail damage, well, at 2 years, you're going to get a lot more paid out at that point because your roof is newer. You took care of your property. For the 20-year-old house, it's still not your fault technically, but we're not going to write it as if your roof was 2 years old. No, it's a 20-year-old roof. We're only going to pay you maybe, you know, a third of what we would have if it was 2 years old or whatever the case may be.
I actually heard recently where insurance agents will not insure your home, and if you buy a home, they will not insure it if you don't put a new roof on it right away. Is that something you've
heard? I haven't heard that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay.
That may just be gossip. Yeah, but, it might be. Yeah, I haven't heard that. Cameron, you didn't put a new roof on your house,
not.
Did you?
Not on wood.
I'd be bringing in rice and beans if that was the case. As last thing to say, I know we're probably a little biased, I might have skipped over it, but I know a lot of people don't use an insurance agent for their auto and home and umbrella coverage, which probably for a lot of people, they can relatively get away with it, you know, especially if they don't have a home. That's a big, big thing that they don't have to worry about. But they usually probably still should have, if they're renting, renter's insurance, right?
Great point.
You know, different scenarios, but mm-hmm. we're a little bit biased. You know, at least for me personally, I'm sure the two of you feel similarly. If I'm going and doing it myself, I'm looking at one insurance policy every year versus I work with a professional. They're looking at 100, 200, 1,000 different insurance policies in a given year. They probably know not just a lot about auto and home and umbrella insurance, but they know what the current trends are, what the current big pitfalls are, have knowledge about certain geographic areas. And in a lot of cases, I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but there's not really like a direct cost to you. They get paid typically through the insurance company. So mm-hmm. it's not, you know.
You're talking about like a broker?
No, like no. How insurance agents are compensated.
Yeah, insurance
like when you pay your premium, it's not going directly not like, to Joe Schmo's pocket. It's going to the insurance company, and then the insurance company is paying Joe Schmo X number of dollars for writing those policies.
Okay.
So from a service perspective, I tell almost everyone I know, friends, doesn't matter if you're 20 or 80, there's really little reason why you shouldn't go with an insurance agent. They're suited to work in your best interest, and for you, that there's a level of the service that comes off your plate, and you get mm-hmm. an expert at your disposal.
Takes the guessing out of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, you brought up a good point that I hadn't thought of earlier. Renters insurance, you know, renters should also have good, strong liability coverage, right?
Yeah. A lot of landlords and a lot of apartment complexes require it. But if you're renting individual homes, then there may be a scenario where the landlord thinks that maybe they've got enough coverage with their own. But yes, you as a renter, you still need your own protection.
And I wouldn't be shy. You know, I rented from, you know, big box corporation, and I previously rented from a single landlord. That's the only piece of real estate they owned. If it wasn't a corporation, it was a single person. And I wasn't shy to ask them, hey, can I just see the breakdown of the, you know, what do you have for liability coverage? What do you have for water backup coverage? And what ended up turning out was the single landlord that I was renting through, they weren't really willing to increase their water backup coverage. So my agent took that note and allowed me to add it to my renter's policy.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Okay, just very quickly, I want to go through some of the pitfalls of not having the right coverage in your home. We're going to bullet point these. So out-of-pocket costs, what's the first thing that comes to your mind as a pitfall when we talk about out-of-pocket costs?
Most people think it's just the deductible, but if you don't have proper protection, I mean, and this is, again, with the hurricanes, for instance, a lot of people think that, hey, this hurricane's coming through, I'm going to have an approved claim, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's not the case. More times than not, unless the wind is the actual vehicle or the actual reason for the damage. If it was water and you don't have flood insurance, guess what? You're SOL.
Mm-hmm.
So
for the whole house.
Exactly. Wow. So you got to understand, okay, well, where does my coverage start and where does it stop?
Yeah, I think the big thing I brought up earlier was that you need to be wary and aware of the distinction of an insurance policy on, you know, we'll think of a total loss, a fire, a flood takes out your whole house, you need it completely rebuilt. An insurance policy will either specify it as actual value, what's the house worth when I got the insurance, or replacement value, what does the insurance company think it would cost to rebuild my home exactly the way it was? And those can be two very different numbers.
Is that underinsured rebuild? Would that be what that would be considered?
It may be synonymous with it, but yeah.
But think about like some homes, you know, a brick home probably costs more than a purely wood home. Or, you know, if you have specialty stone, you know, on the outside of your home, that could cost a good deal. Especially if you live in an older home, that could be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, for instance, down in Florida right now, I know a lot of people, it's been a while, and unfortunately, Florida's gone through a big insurance change where a lot of companies have backed out of the state, but a lot of people haven't increased their dwelling coverage. So some people down there may be living in million-dollar homes, but they're only insured for $500,000. Well, if that's the case, okay, well, I'm insured for $500,000. And to Cameron's point, if I don't have that replacement cost guarantee, then yeah, I may be underinsured. I may only get a check from the insurance company for $500,000, but then I have to go out and rebuild my house, and it may only be a half of what it was mm-hmm. previously.
You've seen that. I've seen the exact opposite of it too. You have a, you know, someone who lives in a, you know, $500,000 home, but because of the materials that was used to build it, and you know, maybe just geographic location, it's not a big metro area that has appraised value, it might actually cost more to rebuild it than what the property's worth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an underinsured piece to that, you might be building less than what you had before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pitfalls to inadequate liability protection. I mean, I think we kind of talked about that a little bit, but if somebody's injured on your property and you don't have enough liability coverage.
Yeah, then they're going to come after you for personal assets, mm-hmm. maybe future wages. So that's where, I mean, again, there's any number of horror stories, but, you know, everyone always looks at higher risk items, having a trampoline at home, having a pool, having any other what they call attractive nuisances that are out there. So like a big playground, a treehouse, anything that, again, kids will be kids or people will be people. But yeah, as soon as there's a bigger risk for injury, there's a bigger likelihood that there's going to be a potential lawsuit if something happens.
There could be instances where I think you were going on the path of just not having purely enough coverage mm-hmm. on a dollar amount. But sometimes, you know, not to freak you out, Tracy, but some insurance companies may now in 2024 fly drones or do drive-by appraisals to kind of see.
There's one in my neighborhood that somebody flies. There's one in my neighborhood that flies around the windows of the neighborhood houses. And it's the neighborhood watch will start talking to people. Close your windows.
Usually the big point of it is they're trying to identify, especially things in the backyard, what are, you know, Has the insured gotten a trampoline or a pool, the things you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier?
Because, that's pretty cool, though.
Because they might, in some instances, if you got a trampoline and they, for whatever reason, didn't do that appraisal and someone got injured, they may say, well, we didn't have it on your policy that you had a trampoline, which is, you need to disclose that. So mm-hmm. you might not get a claim paid mm-hmm. out in that event.
Oh, wow. Okay, additional living expenses. So if the policy lacks coverage for additional living expenses, you may not be reimbursed for the cost of temporary housing and other expenses. Let's give a sort of a vignette of what that looks like for
so,
people.
So real life example, when I was a kid growing up, the house two doors down caught on fire. I'm not sure exactly how it happened. It wasn't any funny business or anything like that, but caught on fire. And they lost almost a third of their house that just went up in flames. In that instance, they basically needed to live out of an apartment complex for almost a year. And if they didn't have that kind of coverage in place, they would have been paying for that out of pocket.
When you think about that number, I think one thing that comes to my mind is it's not just the place that you lay your head down at night that you're losing by your home. If you have to go to a hotel or an apartment, what are some other limitations? Well, you probably don't have a big enough kitchen. So there are some instances where that insurance could cover, the cost of, getting meals outside of the home because mm-hmm. They call it loss of use. It's, they want to make sure that they're making you whole on what you lost the ability to use. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, the situation you're moving to, if you don't have the ability to do all the same functions, house all of your belongings, they might cover the cost of a storage unit. There's a whole list of things that coverage could list. So making sure you have enough coverage on that piece is important too.
That's good information. What about delays in the claim process? What could cause a delay from a consumer perspective if you were having an accident or something were to happen on your
home? I'm sure you've seen on the news, just seeing people getting out of Florida right now, four, five, six lanes of traffic, just absolutely bumper to bumper. You think of the same way, like if that's a phone line or an insurance queue, it's the same thing. You could have an overload of claims being filed, and there's only so many people working at ABC Insurance Company to be able to process those claims. So mm-hmm. It does take some time.
Yeah, that not having all the right information, not having the pictures like you were talking about, not having all the details. I mean, the biggest thing is you've got to be prompt with your reaction, and you can't sit back and expect anyone to do what they're supposed to. There are some times where you're going to need to be persistent, follow up, and make sure that you've got things moving. So, be knowledgeable, get in touch with your agent, document, and just make sure that you're, keeping a record of it and trying to communicate as quickly as you can as soon as you find something, because the longer that you wait, the longer it's going to take for the insurance company to review it, for their underwriters to review the policy, figure out if it's going to be approved or not. So, and then you get claim adjusters that may come out and they may say, well, we've got this precedent from this claim, or maybe we need this claim as an example for this. So, mm-hmm. the sooner you can be prompt in taking action, the more likely you are to get the outcome that you're looking for.
And in the meantime, I'm going to use a trigger word, but that's why we have or preach here that you should have an emergency fund. This is an emergency. If the mm-hmm. 30 of your house is gone, if the hurricane took your house out, if someone gets injured, you weren't planning on them getting injured, that's what an emergency fund's for. So if you're having to evacuate and going to stay in a hotel. It could be a couple weeks until you might have to stay in a hotel or an Airbnb somewhere else for a few weeks before you get your insurance paid out. Well, you need to make sure, at the very least, if you don't have an adequate emergency fund, that you have the ability to pay for it, whether that's on a credit card or trying to find some sort of financing short term until it's paid out on a worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been great. I hope that our followers have found this information helpful, especially in today's landscape with all that's going on. That's it for today. We appreciate you for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next topic.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.